listeners, Sai Ram. We now bring you Radio Sai Bhajan Classroom. Today's episode was first aired on the 20th July 2017 as part of Thursday Live programs on Asia Stream of Radio Sai. This program is hosted by Team Radio Sai's Bishu.
Saram, dear listeners, and welcome to Radio Sai Vintage Bhajan Classroom, our series every week where we offer you beautiful melodies that used to be sung in the Sanctum Sanctorum of Prashant Nilayam in the 60s and 70s. These are bhajans which Bhagwan loved to listen, and we are now reviving them, we are rediscovering them, and we are relishing these beautiful compositions and soaking in the Sai bliss of these Sai bhajans. What we have today is another beautiful one, adoring our Lord as Sai Shiva. This is how the first line of the bhajan goes.
Jaya Jaya Sadguru Sai Sada Shiva.
So in today's episode, we will learn this bhajan, we will get familiar with this lyrics, we move on to the raga, the beat of the bhajan, and then we take up every word of this bhajan and dwell on what it conveys. How can we think of Bhagwan when we sing this bhajan? How can we empty our heart at his feet as we ruminate on this bhajan? So let's get started with the lyrics.
Jaya Jaya Sadguru Sai Sadashiva Hara Hara Shankara Shambho Mahadeva, Jaya Jaya Sadguru, Sai Sadashiva, Neelakantha Sai, Bhasma Vibhushita, Hara Hara Shankara, Shambho Mahadeva, Parthi Purishwara, Sai Maheshwara, Hara Hara Shankara, Shambho Mahadeva.
So you now know the lines of the bhajan, the words that make the bhajan. Let's go to the interesting part of actually singing the bhajan. Brother Srinivasulu and Anirudh will now give us a slow demonstration of how this bhajan flows.
This bhajan is being sung in the scale F Pancham.
Jaya Jaya Sadguru Sai Sadashiva.
Jaya Jaya Sadguru Sai Sadashiva.
Jaya Jaya Sadguru Sai Sadashiva.
Jaya Jaya Sadguru Sai Sada Shiva.
Hara Hara Shankara Shambho Mahadeva.
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 Jaya Jaya Sadguru Sai Sadashiva.
Jaya Jaya Sadguru Sai Sadashiva.
Neelakantha Sai Bhasma Vibhushita.
Neelakantha Sai Bhasma Vibhushita.
Neelakantha Sai Bhasma Vibhushita.
Neelakantha Sai Bhasma Vibhushita. భస్మ విభూషిత హర హర శంకర శంభో మహాదేవా హర హర శంకర శంభో మహాదేవా
హర హర శంకర శంభో మహాదేవా
హర హర శంకర శంభో మహాదేవా
పార్థిపురీశ్వర సాయి మహేశ్వర
పార్థిపురీశ్వర సాయి మహేశ్వర
పార్థిపురీశ్వర సాయి మహేశ్వర
పార్థిపురీశ్వర సాయి మహేశ్వర
హర హర శంకర శంభో మహాదేవా
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 జయ జయ సద్గురు సాయి సదాశివ
So that's the beautiful moving bhajan on Lord Shiva adoring our Bhagwan as Parthipurishwara Neelakantha Bhasma Vibhushita. When we go to the bhava aspect of this segment, we will dwell on what each of these beautiful appellations of the Lord connote. For now, let's dwell into the intricacies and the inherent melodies of this beautiful composition. It is a composition which evokes an element of pathos. It's a composition which enables you to pour out your heart pining for the Lord. The way the composition is structured, it enables a devotee to just sublimate and supplicate himself completely at the Lord's feet. So let's listen to Anirudh share his thoughts and his views about this composition.
Saram Bishu.
Saram.
My thoughts are just same as what you were rightly saying about the bhajan. It's a beautiful composition based on rag Shubha Panthuvarali in the Carnatic classical music. And we call it Todi in the Hindustani classical music. So if you see the Arohana and Avarohana of the raga.
Sa re.
Komal ri
ga
komal ga
ma
tivra ma
pa da
komal da
ni
shuddh ni
sa ni da pa ma ga re sa
It is also close to one more raga called Shekhara Chandrika,
mm-hmm.
where the pa is not there in that raga.
Okay.
So that's the only difference between Todi or Shubha Panthuvarali and Shekhara Chandrika.
Sare ga ma da ni sa ni da ma ga re sa.
One example for this raga is
Dattatreya sa guru deva.
I think we have done a session before of Dattatreya sa guru deva discussing about the Shekhara Chandrika, where interestingly the pa doesn't come. So throughout the when we went through the swaras of the bhajan, we realized that the pa doesn't come, so it may be some other raga. So that's how we found out that it belongs to Shekhar Chandrika. But the flavor, the feel is absolutely similar. And you have many, many, many compositions, bhajans and todi, which evoke the pining and pouring your heart out feeling yes. in the bhajans.
Allaheshwara ek hi naam bhajare manva baba naam.
Such bhajans actually have lot of scope in the bhava.
Yes.
So the singer can really practice the technical structure well before the session itself, so that he could, we can try to concentrate on the bhava of the bhajan when we are actually singing the session.
Yes.
Like there is a lot of difference in singing Bhajare Manuva Baba Naam, very plain and a technical motive of I should touch the note that way, and singing it in a immersed in the bhava of that line, knowing the meaning.
Bhajare Manuva Baba Naam.
This is like pure technical way of touching the notes. Whereas if you know the meaning, and then if one can try that much in a session, that would be, that's what Swami expects also. And let's
Bhajare Manva Baba Naam.
So this why I'm trying to say this is that this raga gives a scope for filling the bhajan, decorating the bhajan with lot of bhava, whichever yes. bhajan you take.
Shirdi Nevasa Sai Shankara Keshava Madhava Sitaram Bolo Bolo Sitaram Radhisham Bolo Bolo Radhisham Om Jagajanani Sai Mata Shri Lakshmi Ramana Narayana Shri Raghunandana Janaki Jeevana Ram 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 Sai Ayodhya Vasi Ram Hai Dwarak Me Aaye.
Wow.
So such powerful bhajans yes. are there in this similar flavor.
In fact, I am reminded of the film on Shirdi Sai.
Yeah, that's a wonderful song. Unforgettable.
Yes.
When we discuss about Todi, Shobhapanturali and all these bhajans, that has to be there.
That song and that scene, that outpouring yeah. of love, that pining for Baba to come back. And you know, I think
yeah.
it is through the song that that really high point yeah. of that movie happens.
It's the video is also must see for that song.
Yes.
Because the way all are, you know, in the third speed, singing yes, together yes. for the Baba who went yes. in trance to come back.
Yes.
That it's really very powerful.
Maybe you should just sing that.
Sai Baba Bolo 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 Sai Baba
I'm reminded of one more Vithala Abhang in this raga, sung by Shrimati Lata Mangeshkar.
Aga Karuna Kara, Aga Karuna Kara.
And we in fact picked up this song in one of our Tukaram dramas in my third year of undergraduate program.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a requirement of a Hindi song because all were Marathi. Just for the sake of the audience sake, they will understand Hindi also. So somewhere we had to package a Hindi song in between all the Marathi abhangs. So we converted this song into Hindi, mm-hmm. taking the essence of the song.
Beautiful.
And made it to something like
Aao Karuna Kara Darshan Di Jo Karuna Kara Aao Karuna Kara.
So the song goes like
wow.
that.
We can go on actually.
Yeah, this raga, these bhajans are such a way that it makes your eyes closed.
Yes.
Definitely. And keep singing in that dhun.
Yes.
And be lost
like,
in that.
You know, especially when you have the third speed of Srinivasa Sai Shankara.
Yeah.
Again, a very, very, very powerful, very elevating moment.
Actually, you feel like going more and more.
More and more, yeah.
The ceiling is fit. Jai Jagadishwar Omkar, Jai Jagadishwar Omkar, Jai Jagadishwar Omkar, Jai
Jagadishwar Omkar. Wow. We can only be grateful to Swami that He's made it so easy for us. I mean, to connect to Him.
Yeah.
Giving, gifting us with such beautiful...
tool like music.
Yeah. And... you know, and the high point of music is Sai Bhajans. You'll feel like that. Anyway, so let's go to the swaras.
Yeah. So let's do this swaras exercise so that it helps the singers and the harmonium players at the first level to know the technical structure
yes.
of the bhajan. And then later we can more concentrate on the bhava and the feelings of this bhajan. So let's take the first line now.
Jaya Jaya Sad Guru Sai Sadashiva Nida Nisa Nida Pada Pada Sa 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 Gari Gari Sa Nida Nisa Nida Pada Pada Sa 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 Gari Gari Sa हर हर शंकर शंभो महादेव स स ग ग स ग म प प प म प म ग रे ग रे स स ग ग स ग म प प प म प म ग रे ग रे स.
Again we come back to the first line. We shall go to the next line now.
Neelakantha Sai Bhasma Vibhushita Saga Saga Ma Pa 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 Ma Da Pa Pa Saga Saga Ma Pa 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 Ma Da Pa Pa Har Har Shankar Shambho Mahadeva Pa 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 Ma Pa Ma Ga 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 Re Ga Re Sa Pa 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 Ma Pa Ma Ga 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 Re Ga Re Sa Papa.
So the note where
Sai Maheshwara,
so that touches in the note Shudri.
Okay.
Because that's the beauty of the variation. It just touches in the Shudri and comes. So let's follow the swara.
Padani dani ni ni ri ni da 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 ni da pa pa हर हर शंकर शंभो महादेव प प प म प म ग ग ग ग रे ग रे सा प प म प म ग ग ग ग रे ग रे सा।
डेफिनेटली दिस इज अ भजन which will warrant a lot of homework before you actually sing in any center, given that the raga is one where there are a lot of soft notes.
Yeah.
So we'll move on to the beat.
Yeah, the beat of this bhajan is 8-beat, Aditalam, or we call it Kaherva in the Hindustani classical music. So let's have the count so that Arvind Sai can accompany in the kanjira. 1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2, 3, 4 1, 2, 3, 4 1
Jaya Jaya Sad Guru Sai Sadashiva
Jaya Jaya Sad Guru Sai Sadashiva
Har Har Shankar Shambho Mahadeva
Har Har Shankar कर शंभो महादेव
जय जय सद्गुरु साई सदा शिव
जय जय सद्गुरु साई सदा शिव।
Arvind Sai had a Carnatic kanjira. I think perhaps in the regular kanjira that we play in the bhajans, you will have the jingles vibrating more.
Yeah.
Beautifully.
Just for a change.
Yes. Thank you so much, Arvind Sai and Anirudh.
Thank you, Vishu. Sai Ram.
Sai Ram.
Sai Ram. So we now come to the significant part of this episode. We come to the heart of bhajan singing among raga, bhava and tala. Bhava, Bhagwan says, is the most critical element, because without bhava, our raga and tala are meaningless. What raga and tala do is only to enable bhava to express itself. And for us to sing with bhava, for us to sing with the heart, we have to know what this bhajan is trying to communicate to us. Only then we can communicate that to the Lord with all our heart. So let's take the first line.
Jaya Jaya Sadguru Sai Sadashiva.
Jaya is victory. Sadguru, as we know, is the supreme guru. In 1983, Dasara was approaching and Swami asked all the boys who were supposed to speak in the Divine Physical Presence about their topics. And one day Swami asked Mr. Sanjay Sahani, who was also scheduled to speak, "What is your topic?" And he said, "Swami, I would like to speak on Sai, our Sadguru." And immediately Swami asked, "Who is a Guru?" And Mr. Sanjay Sahani did not want to answer because he felt it is always wise to keep quiet in front of the wisest person in the universe. And Bhagwan himself explained, "Gu stands for the darkness of ignorance and Ru is the one who removes it. So Guru is one who removes the darkness of ignorance." And then Bhagwan again asked, "Who is Sadguru?" And now Mr. Sanjay Sahani picked up some courage and said, "Swami, Sadguru is one who takes the individual beyond the ocean of samsara, beyond the cycle of birth and death." And Swami seemed to be satisfied with the answer. But then Bhagwan added, "Sai is not a guru. He is not just Sadguru. Sai is Jagatguru." His topic was Sai, our Sadguru, and Swami was telling him, Sai is not just Guru or Sadguru, but he is Jagatguru. He is the teacher of the entire world. He is the embodiment of infinite wisdom, infinite peace, and countless are the ways through which He imparts this precious wealth of peace and wisdom. Many years ago, again, perhaps in the 80s, Bhagwan had once called the boys who had stayed back during the winter vacation to Purnachandra Hall, and Swami was treating them to a movie. Yes, they were watching a film with Bhagwan. It was a Telugu film on Lord Dattatreya. Lord Dattatreya, as many would know, is the trinity of Brahma, Vishnu and Maheshwara in one form and one incarnation. And there is the story of how Kartavira Arjuna became a disciple of Guru Dattatreya. So this movie was about Kartavira Arjuna meeting Guru Dattatreya for the first time. After years of search, he finally finds him, and his parents had told him that your guru is Lord Dattatreya, none else. So his life's mission at that point in time was somehow to find Guru Dattatreya. And the track to the guru's ashram was difficult. It was a thorny track. It was a long and arduous journey. He was tired, but at the same time, he was very thrilled because finally he would be reaching that place which will liberate him. So with every subsequent step, he felt so much peace within. He was just bubbling with enthusiasm and joy, waiting to meet his master as indicated by his parents. And somehow he reached that place which was supposed to be the ashram of Guru Dattatreya. But when he reached there, he was absolutely shocked. He thought, good God, is he supposed to be my guru? He felt definitely he has come to a wrong place. Perhaps he is seeing the wrong person, because the entire ashram actually reeked of liquor. There was flesh everywhere, and the guru himself actually emanated that very foul smell. Not only that, there were women around the guru, and no one was chanting Vedas or the Upanishads there. They were talking in such low language. It was the slang language of the cobblers. And he thought, is he really the great Dattatreya that my mother had spoken so highly about? And to make matters worse, all the disciples of this so-called guru, they were all drunk. The master too was drunk. But somehow, he prostrated in front of this drunken master because his mother had said that he is supposed to be your guru. So just obeying his mother's command, he fell at the feet of this master and splash! He was just thrown out into a puddle of water by the guru's disciples. He didn't know what was happening. He was so stunned. He squeezed his dhoti dry and he didn't know what he was supposed to do. He had gone completely dry. His brain was frozen, and it was too much of humiliation for him to bear. The guru, who was supposed to teach him Brahmagyana, was in such sorry state of being. Again he tried, only to obey the mother's orders. For the third time, when he tried to prostrate in front of the guru, the disciples, the drunken disciples, just lifted him and threw him out of the ashram. And he was completely shaken. He thought, what kind of a guru is this person? A true guru, the scriptures say, rests not even for 100 births until his disciple has attained the ultimate reality. But this guru is such a sorry person, and he is rejecting me outright. First of all, is he Dattatreya, or am I just deluded? Am I mistaking someone else for Dattatreya? But somehow, Kartavira Arjuna, sticking to his mother's words, taking inspiration from his parents' directions, thought he will give it one more try, and he resolved that I will hold on because my mother had said that he is the guru, so I have to stick to him. And so he went back to the guru, and he saw that the guru was in the same insane stupor. But somehow he held on to his feet, and with a lot of faith, he prayed. Again he was abused, he was ridiculed, he was beaten.
but he did not move. He held on and he prayed and he persevered. And as he was there down and out, holding on to the Guru's feet and only praying, only ensuring that his faith is not shaken, only going by what his parents had said. And when he was at the last ebb of his patience, suddenly everything changed. The ashram was filled with fragrance, with heavenly aroma. All the women and the drunken attendants changed. He saw only rishis there. And what was the grotesque form of the Guru now was the divine effulgent form of Guru Dattatreya, Lord Dattatreya. And the blissful Dattatreya now smiled at Kartavir Arjuna, and with a lot of joy, with beautiful benediction, he placed his hand on his head. And in that single moment, with that single touch, Lord Dattatreya had conferred Brahma Jnana on Kartavir Arjuna. This scene was over. Bhagwan was watching this along with the boys. And once this scene was over, suddenly the screen went blank. The movie was stopped. Why? Because Swami asked for the movie to be paused. And now the boys saw that a table was brought, mic was placed in front of Bhagwan. Bhagwan got up to speak, and Bhagwan just said, "I am Dattatreya. Test is my taste." There are these moments with the Divine when He chooses to part the wheel and let us know about the ultimate reality of Himself and the ultimate reality of ourselves. He is the eternal Lord. He is the Sadashiva. He is all wisdom. He is all power. He is the one who is the Guru of all, but He is the one who tests so that He can give us a taste of the bliss that He always is. He is the eternal embodiment of bliss, Sadashiva. Whenever we pass those tests, then we too experience a glimpse of that bliss, and that is our victory. So in this line, Jai Jai Sadguru Sai Sadashiva, we offer our salutations to that Sadguru, to that Jagatguru, the same Sai Shiva, and we pray that we pass in His tests. We pray that we become victorious in our faith, in our love, in our devotion. Let's move on to the next line.
Har Har Shankara Shambho Mahadeva.
Hara is used for Lord Shiva because he is in charge of destruction of the cosmos. But that is not what is the real significance of Hara. Bhagwan says the inner meaning is Hara is one who destroys all that is negative in us. Shankara can be split as Sam and Kara. Baba explains that Sam refers to Chidanandam and Atmanandam, while Kara means one who bestows. So Shankara is one who confers on us eternal bliss, because Chidananda is eternal bliss, Atmananda is bliss of the self. Shambho can be split as Sham, which means peace or bliss again, and Bhu means to cause. Shambho again refers to the one who is the bestower of peace and bliss. Shiva, Shankara, Shambho, everything only means auspiciousness, peace and bliss. Mahadeva can be split into Maha means great and Deva means God. When Bhagwan was in his teens, Mr. Seshagiri Rao and a few other devotees composed a string of 108 names to be repeated when Bhagwan was worshipped. And soon this book was out of print. And Professor Kasturi, who was in charge at that time of the little press, undertook the task of reprinting this book. And before he did this, he went to Bhagwan and consulted if he would like to change any of the names. And Swami went through the entire list. And then one of the changes that Swami did is, instead of the name Shankara Amsa, the one who is a part or a portion or a limb of Shankara. Swami changed that and Swami said, Shankara. He is not Shankara Amsa. He is not a part of Shiva. He is Shiva. Again, the divine parting the veil, just so that we know in whose midst we are. Another way of understanding Shankara, Bhagavan says, is Sanka means doubt and Hara means to destroy. So Shankara also means the one who is the dispeller of doubts. Professor Kasturi in Loving God narrates a very beautiful incident. There was a certain Norwegian engineer by name Tideman, and when he took leave of Baba to proceed to Bangladesh and take up a project at Chittagong Harbour, which was being extensively rebuilt, Bhagwan created a ring and put it on his index finger of his right hand. 6 months later, Mr. Tideman came to Bhagwan's bungalow at Vrindavan, Whitefield, and Professor Kasturi says, finding that bhajan was about to begin, he slithered into a corner and parked himself between him and Dr. Bhagwantam. And Bhagwan looked at him and asked, Tideman, where is the ring? And Tideman replied quite shamefacedly, Swami, I lost it. Where? Swami asked. Swami, while at Chittagong, I was coming down a rope along the hull of a ship and it fell into the river, Tideman explained. Swami asked when? And he said, Swami, February 23rd. And Professor Kasturi was calculating, so it was almost 3 months ago. And the moment Tideman replied, instantly Swami's palm went into a circle and suddenly Swami caught something as if he clasped it before it fell to the ground, and between Bhagwan's two fingers they saw that there was a ring. But everyone was now thinking, is it that ring? And more than Professor Kasturi, Dr. Bhagwantam, being a scientist, was even more, could not control his scientific curiosity. And knowing his mind, Bhagwan turned to Mr. Bhagwantam and said, what, even now your faith is not firm? And Tideman simply rose and touched Bhagwan's feet. He fell at Bhagwan's feet and Swami placed this ring now on his outstretched palm. And Swami said, yes, it is the same. It is the same ring. It fell into my hands. I am in that river. I am everywhere. My eyes, my ears, my face are everywhere. I remain enveloping all the time. And with that assertion, all the doubts from the minds of Professor Kasturi or Dr. Bhagwantam or Mr. Tideman disappeared forever. He is that Shankara. He will remove whatever doubts, whatever Shanka we have about the true reality. So in this line, Hara Hara Shankara Shambho Mahadeva, we praise the Lord who fills us with auspiciousness, who is the embodiment of auspiciousness, and who takes us towards Him by removing everything that is an obstacle on our spiritual path. Let's move on to the next line.
Neelakantha Sai Bhasma Vibhushita.
Neelakantha can be split into Neela meaning blue and Kantha means neck. Again, this is a name often used for Lord Shiva because he drank the deadly halahala poison that emerged during the churning of the ocean of milk. And the poison stayed there in his neck because that poison could not go inside. Mother Parvati held it so that the poison does not hurt Shiva's stomach. And the poison could not come outside because if it comes outside, it would cause great danger and damage to the world. Lord Shiva decided to hold it on his neck for eternity, and that is why he is called Neelakantha. He can drink even the deadly poison. If that is the only way the world can be saved, if that is the only way the welfare of the universe can be ensured, the Lord can go to any extent for His devotee. Any sacrifice is no sacrifice for the Lord. And the blue color signifies that limitless compassion. Just like the sky is blue and the ocean is blue, beyond limits, no length, no breadth, no depth. The compassion of the Lord similarly is boundless. It is blue beyond infinity. In August 1988, an Italian by name Renate made his first visit to India to see Bhagwan. He was not a devotee yet, but he was very eager to see him after watching Bhagwan's figure on the German television. In fact, he had seen Bhagwan more than 18 years ago in the TV, but somehow that face of Bhagwan remained in his mind, and finally he could make the trip to Prashanthi Nilayam in 88. And before he came to Prashanthi Nilayam, he heard that Swami had broken his hip, and that's why Swami was not giving darshan regularly. But Bhagwan came out on one day when he was there, and that was Janmashtami. That was Krishna's birthday, and Swami gave a discourse that day. And Renate says, "I was lucky to get a front row seat for this celebration. That really made it possible for me to see and experience him so closely. For 2 hours, I watched him give a discourse, standing all through with a broken hip. And this left me absolutely stunned. I was astonished. No words can describe what I felt for him. I knew that here is someone who can undergo anything for his devotees. And I knew that he is my path. I left the ashram as a devotee. I left the ashram with the desire to see him in his full glory. The Lord is the embodiment of tolerance, of forbearance. Whatever he asks his devotees to do, he has done that, and he has done that a millionfold. That is why he is Nilakantha. Bhasma Vibhushita. Bhasma refers to Vibhuti. Vibhushita means the one who adorns. In the earlier days, you read so many beautiful accounts of how Bhagwan was there at the bedside of a sincere devotee. And what would happen on so many occasions is when the devotee moves on, he leaves his body, suddenly Vibhuti used to erupt from Bhagwan's mouth. And this is what happened once in 1958. It was a Saturday. It was 15th of November. Bhagwan was reading out a letter to some persons around him, and at about 5:20 p.m. suddenly shouting, "Ah!" Swami fell on the floor and he was practically lifeless. After 10 minutes, Bhagwan's body moved a little, and then Swami coughed slightly 3 times. And then suddenly, as he coughed, 3 puffs of Vibhuti just emanated from his mouth. Huge quantities of Vibhuti, actually. And the power with which it came out was so great that the Vibhuti fell at a distance of more than 1.5 feet. And 5 minutes later, at 5:35 p.m., Bhagwan got up, and without any sign of exhaustion or confusion, he just resumed the conversation from where he left off with the devotees. But one devotee could not contain the curiosity, and he asked Swami what happened, and Swami said, "I had been to Dehradun. You might know the mother of that particular devotee who comes to this place very frequently. She passed away at 5:30 p.m. Her son was there at the bedside. They are singing bhajans in that room. She had a very peaceful death. I gave her darshan at the last moment." This is what Bhagwan revealed, and Professor Kasturi writes that the next day was a Sunday, and on Tuesday, on 18 November, when the postman came to Prashanthi Nilayam, he had with him a letter from this lady's son to Bhagwan, and the letter said, "Swami, my mother drew her last breath on Saturday at 5:30 p.m. We were doing bhajans, and during her last hours, she was constantly remembering you. She was feeling one with you." That is how the Lord subsumes into himself any being who is constantly thinking of him. Vibhuti is the last remnant of everything in this universe. The last stage of any object is Vibhuti. And when someone sincerely calls out to the Lord himself adorns himself with that Vibhuti. What comes out of the Lord is that Vibhuti. Vibhuti also means grace. The Lord fills that person with Vibhuti. So in this line, Nilakanta Sai, Bhasma Vibhushita, we pray to the one who is all the time engaged in the welfare of the world, and one who would go to any extent for the sake of his devotees. and who adorns himself with that blessed vibhuti, and he confers that ultimate union to whoever pines for him with all their heart, mind and soul. The next line is a repeat of the second line, Hara Hara Shankara Shambho Mahadeva. We come to the fifth line.
Parthi Purishwara Sai Maheshwara.
Parthi Purishwara means the one who is the Lord of Puttaparthi. Maheshwara is again the one who is the great Lord. Maha means great, Ishwara means God. When Bhagwan was in his early 20s, a restless youth who was an incorrigible cricket fan had this opportunity to attend to Bhagwan. And even as he was looking after Bhagwan, he used to continuously ask Swami about the cricket scores. And Swami also used to oblige. In fact, Swami used to continuously reel out cricket scores of a match that was being played in faraway Chennai, at that time Madras, just to make this youth happy. We are talking about 1940s. Even though Swami continued to humor him and continued to do whatever would make that youth happy, but he was restless. And one day he suddenly asked, Swami, I want to see the third eye of Shiva. And Swami instantly looked at him straight in the eye. And in that moment, a jet stream of vibhuti shot out with a gale force from the middle space of the eyebrows of Bhagwan's forehead. And that vibhuti catapulted with so much force that it hit the other end of the hall. And this youth was stunned. He was shaken to his bones. There are these moments when Sai, Satya Sai, revealed that he is Shiva Sai. He is Sai Maheshwara. He is that Parthi Purishwara. He is that Sai Maheshwara come down as Parthi Purishwara. And we pray to this Lord. We pray in complete supplication and awareness that He is the same Lord who's come to redeem us and fill us with grace. That is what this line conveys. And we have the last line again, which is a repeat of the second line. So that gives us some understanding of what this bhajan conveys. Dear listeners, please ruminate on the different appellations of Lord Shiva in this line, and you will have your own story, your own moments of bliss, your own ways to connect with the divine. Let's now, even as we meditate on this bhajan, sing this bhajan once again along with the students, just how it is sung in Prashantinilayam.
Jaya Jaya Sadguru Sai Sadashiva. Jaya Jaya Sadguru Sai Sadashiva.
Bhushita, Bhushita,
With that, we come to the end of this episode of Radio Sai Vintage Bhajan Classroom. We hope you enjoyed it. Please do share your feedback, your comments, what you like about the program, what you would want to be included in this program, anything that would make you feel more connected to Swami through this program. As always, you can write to listener@radiosai.org. With heart full of gratitude and love, we offer this endeavor at his blissful, beautiful lotus feet.
You were listening to an episode of our program Radio Sai Bhajan Classroom. This episode was first aired on the 20th July 2017 as part of Thursday Live from Prashanthinilam on Asia stream of Radio Sai Global Harmony. This program was hosted by Team Radio Sai's Bishu. Thank you and Sai Ram.